Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest edition of the Junk Baller Podcast. And for the first time, as roommates, this is our first podcast together, as Kevin and I are now roommates. But I am Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, as always, Kevin. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Oh, Kev's got a mouthful of pizza right now. Right there. It is dinner time as we actually, it's probably past your dinner time normally, maybe, right?
It's a little later.
And then for me, my podcast or my dinner is normally like 7 o'clock, 7:30. You know, I didn't have dinner the other night till like eight, like till you came home on Wednesday of around like eight, or like 7:45, 8. I was like, yep, this is pretty much prime dinner time for me. That is the one thing that that I have to get used to with Kev. Kev is definitely an early bird and not a night owl. Whereas as soon as Kev goes to bed, I got like 4 or 5 hours to myself in the apartment. It's kind of weird. Like, it feels like I'm living by myself at some points. I mean, I'm quiet and all that. I'm not trying to wake him up and be loud, but I've been telling Kev that I've been joking with him and testing how loud I can be in the apartment by moving the volume up on the TV or having the dryer run last night. And I baked the other night. So,
and by testing, I think you've asked me every night since you've been here.
Yeah.
Just if I've heard you.
Yeah. Cause I've kind of gotten a little bit louder each time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so welcome back to the newest edition of the Junk Baller Podcast. Got some fun stuff planned for you today, and we got a couple more. Now that Kevin and I are actually living together, we are hoping and trying to schedule more just because it's a little bit easier for us to schedule. We're trying to get at least a couple more this month, hopefully, and we possibly have a guest coming on one of us if he ever texts us back, because he's just the worst texter.
Horrible texter.
That's a hint to people. hopefully we'll get a guest on before the beginning of the season. And spring training started, and
yes,
it's warmer weather coming. It's been a little bit warmer here, but you know, nothing too crazy in the spring training. Nothing like crazy injuries so far. Lucas Giolito's possibly done for the year.
Yes.
But who cares about the Red Sox? No one at this table is caring about the Red Sox. And if we have any Red Sox listeners, we don't care.
Yeah.
But
well, it is unfortunate for them because they signed them in the offseason, didn't they, to like help boost their rotation a bit?
Yeah. I don't know how much boosting their rotation is by signing Lucas Giolito.
It's somebody
who had like a 6 ERA when he got traded last year at the deadline.
Yeah.
I know it's somebody, but here's the thing. There'd be a lot of home run balls going over the Green Monster.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, I mean, there was talk in the offseason about the Red Sox trying to make moves because they were in last place last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like their biggest acquisition, I think.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone else they...
Well, they were trying to shed money. Like, it was a very mixed signal that the ownership and GM were giving the fans. And the fans are pissed. Like, they're upset. So I'm looking to go up to Fenway this summer. So hopefully the tickets might be a little bit cheaper, given that it might not be as... But they have a very passionate and loyal fan base.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. News that has happened is Zach Wheeler signed his extension. Thank the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fantastic deal. 3 years, $126 million. It is pretty much the same amount of money in total amount that he signed back a couple years ago when he signed his contract with the Phillies. But Wheeler has had the highest WAR of any pitcher in the major leagues since he signed his deal. And that means that he needs to get paid. And so it is the largest average value for a contract extension in history of MLB. So it's like 41-ish million dollars a year, 40, I think, and well-deserved. I love the contract. I think it's the best of both worlds. He deserved the money, but I didn't like the fact of a 4 or 5 year deal of him getting that and going possibly into his 40s. I don't like extending players into their 40s. I don't. As soon as you hit like with the Pujols contract a couple years, whatever it was, you know, he's going to end at his 40. Like, Bryce is going to end his contract, I think, at 39. And they're eventually going to extend him. I was talking with Taylor about this earlier in the week. They're going to eventually extend Bryce because they just love him. But I wouldn't do it yet. And
yeah.
So what are your thoughts on the Wheeler extension?
I think it's a perfect number of years. He's 34?
Yeah.
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 So that means he'll be 37 by the time it's wrapped.
So he's got this year, and then he's got three more years. So we have him for the next 4 years.
Yeah. Well, still like 37, 38 years old. Which it, because like if you have like a seven-year extension, he's going to be in his 40s.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference for a pitcher.
Yeah. I agree. We have Nola and Wheeler locked up for the next – we'll have a 1-2 punch for the next 4 years at least. Mm-hmm. And I think I know a lot of people are Nola haters that listen to this podcast. I've gotten a lot of crap over Instagram and all that. All right. And I know a ton of Nola haters in life. Nola is a good pitcher. All right. He deserved that money. He's been consistent, and he's also been, I think, top 10 in WAR, or even not even top 10, like top, definitely in the top 10 in WAR for pitchers since he's come to the league. And that's deserving. He deserved that. He deserved that contract. But yeah, also some other free agent signings who belonged to Scott Boras. That happened. Who were they? Because you had Cody Bellinger, right?
Mr. Cody Bellinger, yes.
Who did you have him going to?
Chicago.
You had him going to, so you got it right?
Yep, I did.
You got it right?
I can't remember what I said, though, in terms of the length of contract and the amount.
I think it was a little bit below 200. I think so. I think it was below 200. I think you had like 5-6 years, like 170, I want to say, somewhere around there. Might have been 6-7 years, but I don't think you were giving him $200 million.
No, I wasn't.
No.
No. That's too much for him.
No.
For a bounce back guy, I thought you'd still get a decent contract.
Yeah, so did I. But I think Boras is overplaying his hand a little bit, and the GMs aren't playing ball with him because they're like, screw you, man. Like, because Bellinger wanted 200 plus. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the beginning of the year, Boras said, you know, you got a piece of the pie this year with Bellinger, but if you want him, you want the whole pie, you got to pay up. And guess what? They didn't pay up. Obviously, he's getting $30 million this year with two opt-outs after, which honestly, it's a shame that like guys like him aren't getting bigger deals, because he probably deserved at least a 5-year deal. But because he's been a good player, but he's inconsistent last couple of years. But last year was definitely a bounce back year. Like last year was a prove it deal. He proved it, and then he's now on another prove it deal because he's only guaranteed $80 million.
Yes,
and that's not a lot for a guy who has. Would you say he's a 5-tool player? He's not like a top 5-tool player, but he's got speed. He can play the outfield. Mm-hmm. He can play multiple positions. He's got power. Yeah. He can hit for average.
Yeah. So when he's healthy.
Yeah. No, when he's
healthy. When he's healthy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, 100%.
And that's what they're banking on, really. Yeah. I think that's a part of the 3-year deal, because if they sign him to a larger deal and he ends up getting injured, then they're kind of stuck with a bad contract.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I 100% agree. Yeah. I wasn't saying he's a top 5-tool player.
No.
You know, when you think of a 5-tool
no.
player, you think of the best player in the league.
Yes.
Or, no, he's not even. I wouldn't even. Well, we'll talk about that later. and then who else signed? Chapman. And I think I had him going to the Cubs as well, but he did not sign with the Cubs.
Nope.
And he, a little backstory with Chapman, if you don't know, he was offered a 5-year, $100 million to $120 million extension with the Blue Jays, and he declined it because he wanted to test the market. Well, he tested the market, and he ended up signing an awful, awful deal because he's only guaranteed $57 million, I believe.
54.
54. Oh, wait, really? Did they lower it?
It's a 3-year, $54 million contract.
Wow. Okay, man, I thought it was 57. Okay. Well, it's $3 million off. Anyway, 3 years with two opt. Same thing as Bellinger's, two opt-outs, but lesser AAV. And I don't feel bad for the guy, but he does have to go play in San Francisco, which I do feel bad for because San Francisco sucks.
Is he a Boras guy too?
Yes. Okay. Him, the last four, there was the Boras four. There was Bellinger, Snell, Montgomery, and Chapman. Those were the Boras four that they were talking about that are basically holding out. And Snell and Montgomery are still free agents as we record this podcast.
Yep.
Hopefully they are signed soon. I know that there was some rumors that the Phillies were interested in Snell in a shorter term deal, but then I think it got declined. Like they were like, nah, not that interested. But it's just weird, man. Like the GMs are definitely fighting back on Boris's clients and like, you know, we're not going to play hardball. We know that you're price gouging us for guys that are inconsistent. Like Chapman, I think hit like 220 or something, like 230 last year. Like he's got a fantastic glove, but
he had 240 last year.
Yeah. He started off incredible. He started like his month of April was like MVP level.
Yeah, he's hit over 250 once in his career.
Yeah, he's not definitely a hit for average guy.
It's for his fielding because he has four gold gloves.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And I think he's got another, I think he's got two platinum. One or two platinum. Sure. I know he has a platinum. I know he has one. But so hopefully Montgomery and Snell are signed by, who knows, by the end of this podcast. But that's kind of the news that's happened. Oh, the MLB uniforms have been a very big topic. I warned you, people. I warned you, okay, that we had a podcast about this, and I warned you that it was going to be terrible. And I didn't hear. It was like, oh, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see how it is. Like, it can't be that bad. It's been worse than anticipated.
It's worse than you said.
You can see through the pants, okay, people. You can literally, like, the amount of memes that I saw that were just inappropriate, and but it was still hilarious. But the fact that how bad these jerseys are and inconsistent they are is really disappointing for a major sports franchise that is a $1 billion industry.
It's just like, I look at these photos and I'm like, did no one at Nike or Fanatics or whoever made these think of putting these under a bright white light to see if anybody could see through them?
Yeah.
Before putting them on professional baseball players?
Yeah. I don't care if they're trying to make it more performance-based. I don't care about that. Like, that's fine. I'm okay with the making it performance-based, making it a better jersey. That's fine. But the execution was absolutely horrid. Where's the quality control? I know the quality control at Fanatics is pretty much non-existent, but the fact that it is this bad and been a topic where the MLB union has had to get involved, like Tony Clark was like, yeah, we're going to address this. Like he talked, I'm like, this is pathetic. Yeah. I know that a lot of people are upset. I mean, you've seen the arch of some of the names.
Yeah, so
like Verlander's name is pretty much like a rainbow. Like it looks like a Little League jersey.
Yes.
It's really pathetic.
Yeah.
Now, with the flack that Fanatics has gotten, I know Michael Rubin came out and said that basically we're just doing what the owners said. But the thing is, if you had this, like, if you're a good company, you would address this and be like, hey, guys, like, this material is a little see-through. Like, it's not, but the thing is, the owners don't care. They just want to get some money. Mm-hmm. And they think that eventually they'll blow back. And, like, some of the jersey names are pretty bad. Like, they're just off-centered with everything, and then like some of them are close together and some of them are far apart. Like, it doesn't make sense.
You know, like for like if you're like a family member, like if it's your dad, it's like, you know, it would be cool to get him for Christmas one year, like a customized jersey.
Yeah.
So you get like a customized Phillies jersey and you put his name, like his name customized on the back.
Yeah.
That's what they kind of remind me of, like kind of like replica jerseys that you give to someone as a gift, but they're using it professionally.
Yeah. It's really bad. And the fact that they increase the price for fans, I think they're $25 more. The material is much lighter and much more cheap. And there's no more stitching. It's all like NBA style.
It's
like
ironed on.
Ironed on stuff, which is going to, it's going to not be as good, not be as good quality. Like I'm currently wearing a Majestic Phillies jersey.
Majestics.
Yeah. So this was before even Nike took over. I think the Nike jerseys from the last couple of years were perfectly fine. I didn't mind the Nike logo, like everything, the material, it felt like they were fine. I didn't think that it was, you didn't see any drastic changes. But as soon as like I saw the material for the Fanatics stuff, I'm like, oh boy, this is gonna be bad.
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna be bad. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a little interesting in the baseball world for MLB jerseys. It definitely caused some Twitter. It definitely caused some engagement, but not good.
It's not the kind of publicity that Major League Baseball wants.
No, not at all.
No.
There was one other thing that I wanted to talk about: spring training. It was something with MLB uniforms. There was spring training signings. There was one other thing. I can't remember. Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
I can't remember what you remember.
That's true, because you're not in my head.
No.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want you to be in my head.
I don't want to be in your head either.
No,
that sounds
like
a bad place.
No, it's not that bad. There's a lot going on up there. Or not a lot. My mind is going a mile an hour, as Michael Scott would say. But, yeah, so that's the general talk of the sports world for MLB right now. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to the regular season. I know we have a podcast coming up. We're going to talk about, you know, some of the future predictions and what we think is going to happen soon. But yeah, Kev, do you have a fun fact? Or top five? Which one you got today?
I got a fun fact.
Fox fun fact.
Or a fun person or people, I guess. Well, I don't know
as
how fun
person,
they are.
As a human being.
Or just like interesting, I guess.
Okay.
So we don't really see a lot of multi-sport professional athletes anymore, do we?
No. What was Once the last that, one?
Well, I'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, let's think of some of the ones who have played in Major League Baseball and in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think there's the two most notable ones that we could think of are Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
But there are fewer than 70 athletes who are known to have played in both Major League Baseball and the NFL. Mm-hmm. This includes Heisman Trophy winners and seven members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But there's no players listed in the Baseball Hall of Fame that are multi-sport athletes.
Interesting.
The most recent guy wouldn't even come close to either, but he's a very interesting guy in terms of his career. And that guy is Drew Henson.
Drew Henson?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I know that name.
He was a multi-sport athlete in high school playing baseball, football, and basketball. In baseball, he was the national high school record holder in career home runs, RBIs, and runs scored.
Jeez.
In football, he finished second all-time in passing yards and touchdowns for Michigan high schoolers.
Dang.
So he was a pretty impressive athlete in high school, at least in high school.
Yeah.
He started to maybe drift toward baseball, but he decided to go to college as ultimately. So he was a starting quarterback at Michigan, where he fought for a starting job with Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I know who he is. Yep. Yep.
And even platooned with him during some games. After Brady graduated, he took over the starting job. Despite having the fifth best passer rating in Michigan Wolverine history, he left before his senior season to play baseball instead and signed with the Yankees, signing a 6-year, $17 million contract to forego the NFL and play exclusively for the Yankees.
How'd that go?
He lingered in the minor leagues for a few years, but he did play in 8 games in the majors.
Okay.
Earning a Wow, that would have been an insane batting average of one batting average. A .111 average and 3 runs scored. No RBIs.
Gotcha.
Because of his lack of development, the Yankees opted to trade for a more major league talent at third base because he was a third baseman. The man they traded for to replace him, Aaron Boone.
Oh, really? Look at that. Mm-hmm. Look at that full circle.
Yeah. So, but after that disappointment, he quit baseball altogether after the 2003 season and decided to go back to the NFL. So he was originally drafted by the Texans, but he was then traded to the Cowboys, where he would try to compete at quarterback with another notable name, Tony Romo, who at the time was backing up Vinny Testaverde. He played in 9 games in the NFL, 98 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, eventually closing out his career with the infamous 2008 Detroit Lions, including that notorious Thanksgiving game where I think it was against the Titans where they scored like almost 60 points on them, where he fumbled on back-to-back plays.
Oh my God.
So
this poor kid.
I mean, but like how his career was like interwoven with all these other guys is what made his story so compelling. Like the more I looked on, I'm like, wow, this is an interesting guy.
There's got to be a 30 for 30 on this guy, right? Yeah. Gotta be.
Somewhere.
What's his full name again?
Drew Henson. The last I saw, he was a scout for the Yankees, I think.
Oh, really?
But that was years ago, so I don't know if he's still doing that.
Okay. Let's see. Let's do a quick Google.
But he was the last player as of March 7, 2024, to play in both Major League Baseball and the NFL.
Cool. That's an awesome fact. Okay, here we go. Just quick Wikipedia. Let's see what we got here. So that was 2015. He's active member of the Yankees professional scouting staff. But as of right now, doesn't look like they have anything on him other than that.
Yeah, it makes me wonder though, like maybe he was trying to do too much.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, if he stuck to just exclusively one sport as opposed to just like football and baseball together, maybe he would have turned out a bit better.
Yeah.
Instead of just being not good at either sport. Yeah. In the, on the professional level.
Yeah. 6'4", 235. Big boy.
Mm-hmm.
Big boy. Yeah. No, that's definitely interesting. I mean, I feel like they should do he's got a decent Wikipedia page with a lot of stuff, but they don't have anything past what he's doing right now. They don't have that, but that's definitely an interesting fact. Your facts have been pretty good recently, better than mine. I've just been like, hey, you hear about Tony Gwynn's stats? Like, because I just loved
that. That's a great fact. It's just from a different angle.
I love Tony Gwynn's stats. It's really incredible. It's really amazing.
Greg Maddux's stats are pretty incredible too.
Yep, absolutely, 100%. Did I have both of them on my team? My all time team.
I think you've done fun facts for both those guys.
No, my all-time team when we did the fantasy draft. No, I do think...
I don't think you had both of them.
I had Maddux as my pitcher. I don't think I had... I don't think I had Tony Gwynn. Because I think Biscuit took Tony Gwynn as a DH, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I took Babe Ruth as my DH. So, you know, which one would you rather have, Babe Ruth or Tony Gwynn? So, so that's our fun fact. Thank you, Kev. And we are going to transition into our main topic today, which is the MLB Top 100 list that they came out with. You have something to say?
Okay, yeah. Taylor did have Tony Gwynn.
See, I was right. I remember. You see, this brain.
Like you put Tony Gwynn Jr. on here.
Yeah.
Isn't there... Who's Tony Gwynn Sr.?
Tony Gwynn...
Because wasn't there a Tony Gwynn Jr.?
Oh my gosh, I did put Jr. Why did I do that? Oh my gosh, that would maybe people were like, maybe that would have changed the results.
Maybe.
I think people would accepted that the fact they were talking Tony Gwynn. I don't know why I put Tony Gwynn Jr.
Well, Tony Gwynn Jr. did have a 8-year career.
Yeah, but not
not nearly the same.
No. All right. Let's move on. Let's move on here, people. We're talking about the MLB Top 100 list that they came out with. Now, I think they have some criteria. I don't think they're counting players that are injured this year or not playing this year because there were some players that were left off the list that definitely shouldn't be, and we will get to that later. But we're going to go in depth a little bit here of the top 100 and kind of give you our thoughts about the list. Now, if you haven't looked at the list, they had Ronald Acuña Jr. at number one. We're going to give you a brief synopsis.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts at number two, Aaron Judge at number three, Otani at number four, which I was surprised. I thought they were just going to keep riding the Otani hype and just put him number one. Freddie Freeman, number five, Corey Seager, number six, Juan Soto, number seven, Yordan Alvarez, number eight, Garrett Cole, number nine, and then Julio Rodriguez at number 10. Now, I have no problems with the top 10, really, honestly. I think that that is a solid top 10 with what they are right now. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's anyone... The order, I probably don't agree with, but some of them are just apples and oranges. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, if Trout was healthy... You probably have Trout in the top 10, but he kind of been, I think so that's another thing. I think Trout's going to have a great year. I think he's just pissed off for some reason, but what are your thoughts? Top 10.
I would agree. I would say similar to what you're saying, dropping Shohei to four is a bit surprising for MLB to do. I'm not necessarily saying that was the wrong move.
Yeah.
Because he's not pitching this year.
Yeah.
If he was pitching this year,
they probably would have him.
He would be a number one.
Yeah.
But I mean, just the fact that he's number four, despite him not pitching, I think is a testament to his talent anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I 100% agree. The Dodgers have three players in the top five, given that Freeman, Mookie and Shohei are in there. So Dodgers are loaded in definitely some talent.
There's three Yankees in the top 10.
Yeah, that's right. Because Soto got traded and now Soto's in the, there you go. I think that Soto's going to, he just looks good in a Yankee uniform.
Yeah.
I hate that he does. Yeah. I hate that he does, but he just fits the part. I really want him to sign with the Yankees. I don't want the Mets have kind of put out rumors that they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to be interested in him. And I'm like, no, you're not. Don't you dare. Yeah.
I don't think the Yankees would have done what they did making that trade if they didn't feel confident that they would sign him. I don't think he would be just a one-year rental for them.
Yeah.
I think they're really going to be aggressive after this year to keep him.
The only player that I would consider possibly moving out would be J-Rod, because I think that Jose Ramirez might be a better player than him. Obviously, Jose Ramirez has had the experience, and J-Rod's only been in the league 2 years, but also J-Rod's fantastic. Like, mm-hmm. Julio Rodriguez is just amazing. I love him. But and he has set some records early on in his career. But if I had to, you know, have a player for, you know, my team just this year, I'd probably take Jose Ramirez over J-Rod. That's probably the only one that I would consider as a possibility that I'd move out. But I am okay with Julio being number 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, like, because going back to Trout, maybe I would trade places with those two. Like, maybe move Trout up to 10 and Julio to 12.
Because I think that
it's not like a huge drop off, but I think Trout needs to. I feel like Trout should be in the top 10 somewhere, even if he's injured.
If Trout is healthy, I think he's still the best player in the league. Yeah. Like, obviously, he's had his injury problems, but if he's healthy, I don't think there's anyone better. I think he's just that much better than everyone. But All right, a little bit. Let's move on a little bit. We're gonna go through a couple different things here. But so the next list is 11 through 20. You got Harper, Trout, Matt Olson, Jose Ramirez, Austin Riley, Trey Turner, Spencer Strider, Corbin Carroll, Adley Rutschman, and Bobby Witt Jr. Now, I have no problem with the top of this list. But having Corbin Carroll, Adley Rutschman, and Bobby Witt Jr. in the top 20 of Major League players right now, that's a little high.
Well, considering that, like, I think they're riding the Bobby Witt Jr. hype train a bit.
Yeah.
They're bringing him up from 92 last year to 20 this year.
Well, yeah, but even Corbin Carroll and Adley Rutschman. Like, Corbin Carroll was Rookie of the Year. Like, obviously, like, fantastic. But is he the 18th best player in Major League Baseball right now? I don't think so.
Not ahead of some other guys I see on the list.
Absolutely not.
I disagree.
Absolutely not. Adley Rutschman, I can see being, you know, probably top 25, given that he's a catcher. He's older. I didn't think that Corbin Carroll should be 18. Those were the only ones that I kind of was like, in that section that I'm like, I don't think they should be that high. No, I think that they're fantastic players, but I don't think Bobby Witt Jr. should be 20. No, I think not yet.
Maybe middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Like in the 40s somewhere.
Yeah. It's just. So I was surprised that they put Harper for the Trout. That was a little bit surprising.
Yeah.
And, you know, Harper's 11th, and he hasn't put together a full healthy season in 3 years. I mean, even his MVP season, he was hurt. So hopefully he can stay healthy this year along with Trout, because they're good for baseball when they're healthy. And playing. So, any other thoughts on those?
How do you feel about Trey Turner at 16?
I feel like that's accurate. I think, you know, when he's on, he's on. But if he didn't have the slump at the beginning of the year, he'd probably be a top 10. But when his numbers, if you take his numbers through a 162-game season from when he got the standing ovation, I think his average would be 340. 55 home runs, 170 RBIs, an OPS over 1,000. Like, it was ridiculous what his numbers would be the second half. I think it was 2 full months of him playing baseball if they stretched it out to 162 games. So he was on 100%. But, 16 is fine with me. I'm just glad he's ahead of Spencer Strider, because I hate Strider. Have you seen some of the stuff that they've put out? Man, he is a weird guy. He's a weird guy. I won't get into it, people, but he definitely was like, he definitely put together some funny answers to some of his stuff. You get me with my leg like up like this, like.
I think your screen might be blocking it a bit.
Kev just took a picture of me, and I got my. We have this new.
Oh, I do see it.
We have a new table, and I brought my. Take another one. I can't do that. No, absolutely not.
Too cash.
Yeah, I have we have this in the table and this chair is a little bit higher. And I don't know. I can't sit normal. And I always have the tendency to like be in a chair like sideways or like my feet up on the like right now I have my left leg like sideways on the chair. And it's like basically both my feet are on the cushion right now. It's kind of like almost crisscross applesauce type thing.
Well, now that you talked about it, they have to see it.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'll put it on Instagram or something like that. But jeez. That's funny. It caught me by surprise. All right, let's move on. Let's move faster a little bit. All right, 20 to 30, we got Marcus Semien, Jose Altuve, Kyle Tucker, Manny Machado, Francisco Lindor, Fernando Tatis Jr., Luis Robert Jr., Zach Wheeler, Corbin Burns, and then Blake Snell, who is still a free agent. He had the 30th best player according to MLB, and he's a free agent. Mm-hmm. So,
and wasn't ranked last year.
Wasn't ranked, yeah, because he's a little bit inconsistent.
But
he just won the Cy Young. Yeah. So, yeah. Anything stand out to you here? Like, do you think any of these players are like, you know what? Semien should have been ahead of Bobby Witt Jr. Like, or Tatis should have been higher, or what? What do you think?
I mean, maybe Lindor ahead of Witt.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think his ranking in terms of the top 100 is fine. But, like, if you're going to rank one shortstop over another,
yeah.
I think Lindor has to be over Bobby Witt right now.
Right now, yes. Obviously, yeah. Bobby Witt probably can be a better player than Lindor just with potential. But I think I'd take Francisco Lindor this season over Bobby Witt.
Yeah.
But in the future, no, I'd take Bobby Witt over Lindor. But that's the thing. It's right now. Yeah. So that's why they're doing it.
I wonder if Machado will have a bounce back.
Yeah, he was ranked fifth last year.
Yeah, yeah, he was in the top five.
Yeah, I think he's the type of player. I don't think he's the type of player that takes his like, not that it takes his job seriously, but like I feel like he's not the type of player that's. I feel like he's gonna turn into Miggy, where he's gonna get kind of slow and kind of like not take care of his body and become a one dimensional player. Now, obviously, Machado is a way better defensive player than Miggy was, so he has that. But you know, remember when Miggy was in the league, like he was fairly athletic.
And
then, you know, moves to Detroit and kind of gets a little bit like just kind of a slugger type guy.
Yes.
I could see that happening to Machado in the next couple of years. Yeah. Not this year, but in the next couple
of
years.
He reminds me a lot of Robinson Cano, like watching him in terms of like, he makes things look effortless, but you're also aggravated when you watch him because you feel like he could put in more effort than he does.
Correct. Hopefully he doesn't take steroids like Cano.
I don't know.
Hopefully. I would hope that he doesn't. But yeah, yeah, I don't have any. I kind of would have put Wheeler ahead of Strider, in my opinion. Just I'm not trying to be biased there, but Wheeler's been the best. Like Strider had a huge bump in ERA compared to Wheeler, and you know Wheeler or the Strider had the strikeouts. Ken Strider had the hype and everything, but Wheeler's kind of been that kind of dark horse guy that always seems to be right. And now he's starting to get a little bit more attention because he signed the contract. He's got the highest WAR of pitchers in the last 4 or 5 years. So I think that Wheeler should, like, would I rather have Zach Wheeler or Luis Robert this season? I'd rather have Zach Wheeler.
I would, too.
Exactly. So I feel like he should be ahead of Luis Robert. Would I rather have Jose Altuve or Zach Wheeler? I'd rather have Zach Wheeler. So if that's the case, Wheeler should be up higher than 28. He should be up higher, in my opinion. Corbin Burns, I think, also should be up higher, too, than Luis Robert and Kyle Tucker, at least. I hate Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker's worst. That's about the worst. Anyway, all right. Anything else on those?
No.
All right, moving on. 31 to 40. Sorry, people. Zach Gallen, Rafael Devers, Nolan Arenado, Gunnar Henderson, Bo Bichette, Paul Goldschmidt, Pete Alonso, Yandy Diaz, Adelis Garcia, and Randy Arozarena. I think that Nolan Arenado, although he had a down year, I think he should be higher than 33.
Mm-hmm.
I think he didn't win a gold glove this year. Like he just had a down year, but I still think that he was sixth last year.
Yes, he was.
He's now 33. I don't think that, I don't think that Arenado should have gone down that. Like, if you have Nolan Arenado and then you have Gunnar Henderson right next to each other, that doesn't seem right. No. Like, Gunnar Henderson won Rookie of the Year. He looks like he's got a lot of potential. But he could bat 200 this year and have a sophomore slump. I don't see that from Arenado. Like, that's the thing. Arenado should be, I think, a little bit higher.
Yeah. Goldschmidt dropped, too. He was 7, and he's down at 36.
I mean, the Cardinals had a down year as a whole. And they went out this year. The one thing that they complained about was that they didn't have – the veterans complained about is that they didn't have more veteran presence in the locker room. So what'd they do? All the free agents they signed were over 30 all this year. They brought back Carpenter. They went and got I can't remember his freaking name. All the pitchers. Sonny Gray, Kyle Gibson, all those guys, all 35 or 32 or 33 plus.
Yeah.
So that's what they did.
I wonder if they're just going to keep riding the older person train until they just crap out and then you got to rebuild.
Yeah, they might. They might.
I feel like the Cardinals are one of those teams that really holds on to things for a long time.
Yeah. Their ownership is, or the fan base has kind of come at the GM and ownership a little bit recently. But I can't think of anything else in terms of, you know, should anyone be higher than these guys right now. Like, I think once we get to the next list, we kind of think like, no, that person should be higher. But I think that Gunnar Henderson and should probably a little bit high. Like, I don't view him as a top 34 player in the major leagues right now. He's definitely could be in the future, but right now I don't know. I just don't think that. I think they're kind of riding the rookie hype train, and they have to have these lists so that way we talk about it and like say stuff like this so we talk about it.
Yep.
But nothing too surprising on these lists. Like, Devers is solid. I think that's a pretty good ranking for him at 32. I don't have anything anymore on that list.
No, except me, just to say that I think Gunnar needs to de-dropped a bit more than he is. I think the guys behind him, at least 35 through 40, could probably be ranked higher than he is.
I agree. I would have Kevin Gausman ahead of Gunnar Henderson. So 41 to 50, we got Kevin Gausman, Logan Webb, Luis Arraez. Oh, yeah, he's better than Alex Bregman, Will Smith, JT Realmuto, Sean Murphy, Max Fried, Sonny Gray, and Michael Harris the second. I'd take Kevin Gausman over Gunnar Henderson. I'd take, I'd probably take Bregman over Gunnar Henderson right now. Again, this is what we're talking about right now. We're not talking about the next 5 years. We're talking about this season, people. Would I take JT over Gunnar Henderson right now? I mean, JT's my favorite player, so I think I have to.
And he's also one of the best catchers in baseball.
Yeah, so he's the third catcher on this list with Adley being first, and then Will Smith right ahead of JT. And then you got Sean Murphy right after. So they got three catchers in a row. Like, if you go down this list, people, you just see that they kind of got a little bit lazy. You're like, oh, we're going to rank the catchers back to back to back. We're going to rank these shortstops and pitchers back to back to back because we're just like, oh, this person. But, is Sonny Gray the 49th best player in the major leagues right now? Or Michael Harris 50? Like, I don't think Michael Harris is a – last year he was ranked 53. I don't even think Michael Harris is a top 100 player, to be fair. Like, yeah, he's got a lot of potential, but I don't view him as a top 50 player in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Do even people know who he is? He's bats 7th or 8th in that lineup. And the lineup's loaded, but, like, he's not a top – I don't view him. And I'm not trying to be Braves biased right here, people, but I don't view him as a top 50 player.
Stupid question. Well, maybe stupid question. But I'll let you determine
that. I love
that.
Stupid questions. Let's go. Okay.
Do you think that Rushman is better than Realmuto?
Probably. Like, JT definitely had a down year. He even admitted it. He said his swing was off, his mechanics were off, and he worked in the offseason this year. But I think Adley probably is, because Adley's got the switch hitting ability. He's got he's younger than JT. JT's more athletic. Like, JT's arguably the most athletic catcher in Major League history with how athletic he is. I mean, he was considered the best athlete on his team pretty much every year that he's been on a team with someone. Like, because he's tall, he's fast, he's strong. But I think I'd probably take Adley over him right now. And I know that, you know, best catcher in baseball has kind of been his thing for the last couple of years, but he had a down year. And I think that right now, if I had to choose between JT or Adley for this season, I'd probably take Adley, but not by like, it would probably be like, I'd take Adley 60 out of 40, you know, like it's not, or even 55, 45. It's not like a 70, 30 or something like that.
Gotcha.
But I love JT, you know, it's my favorite player. I know someone that knows him super well. And so I was kind of wishing that I get, but that person's, I'm not in contact with that person anymore. So we're not talking about that anyway. Anything else? Max Fried, I think, is pretty accurate. Like, I view him as a good pick. Like, I put Max Fried over Logan Webb, in my opinion. But I think Kevin Gausman is underrated. I think he should be a little bit higher than 41.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd take him over. I'd put him in the top. I'd put him right behind Zach Gallen. Like, I'd probably put him in like 35-ish for Gausman. Yeah, that's probably what I. Like, he wasn't ranked last year. Now he's ranked 41. I think the Gosman's better than that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on. 51 to 60 here, people. Cody Bellinger, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's also the cover athlete of MLB The Show 24. Xander Bogaerts at 53. Luis Castillo, Framber Valdez, Pablo Lopez, Kyle Schwarber, Christian Walker, Devin Williams, and Josh Hader. I don't think that Kyle Schwarber is a top 57 player in Major League Baseball. I think he probably is in the top 100 just because of his pop, but he is a one-dimensional player.
Yes.
I don't view him as 57th player.
That's high.
Yeah. I would have put, like, everyone on this list, I would put above Kyle Schwarber without a heartbeat. That's even saying...
Everybody in the top 100 or
in this 51 to 60. Devin Williams, I think, should be higher. Devin Williams is arguably, I think, the best closer. Is he the first closer that's on this list? Yeah, I think so. He's ranked the best closer, which I think is accurate. And Josh Hader's right behind him, which, to be fair, I think both of them are probably 1-2 in closers. I don't see any problem with that. Pablo Lopez, I think, is a little high. He's been pretty good pitcher, but I don't view him as a top 56 pitcher. Like, he'd probably be in the top 100, but I don't see him being. I don't see him being there. I mean, Xander Bogaerts had a big drop, and so did Vladdy. I mean, Vladdy was ranked 18th last year. Now he's ranked 52.
Yeah,
that's a big drop.
It is. So, when did they choose cover players for the show?
I have no clue. They revealed it about a month ago. Not even a month ago, but like four or five weeks, 3 weeks ago. But I have no clue when they choose it. I mean, because when Harper... did it, they had to do like a makeshift cover. Like, you notice his cover is a little bit different than everyone else because he signed that year. And his cover is like a little bit like, it looks a little photoshopped and everything instead of being like more natural. So I don't see that, but I think all those guys are pretty good in terms of where they're. I think I probably have Bellinger a little bit lower. I don't think he's 51. I probably put him like maybe in the next group here. Because I'd probably have some of these guys over Bellinger in the next group. We got 61. We got Yamamoto, who I don't think should be on the list. He hasn't played in the majors yet. Verlander, Senga, Okode Senga, Justin Steele, Ketel Marte, Ozzy Albies, Dansby Swanson, Carlos Correa, who should not be on this list, J.P. Crawford, and Brandon Nimmo. This is where I think this list, you start to see a little bit more of a drop-off in talent compared to other sections that we've been going through. Yamamoto, he's been a fantastic pitcher in Japan, but he has not pitched in Major League Baseball yet.
No.
I don't think that he should be ranked as a top. Like, obviously the talent is there, but he hasn't pitched yet. I don't think that he could be. Like, I don't know. I don't think 61 is good. I think he'd probably be in the last section, like close to 100.
Yeah.
Ketel Marte, I think he's too low. I think he should be higher. I think he's very underrated. I think he should, like, he wasn't ranked last year, but I think he's probably a top 50 player. That's just with his potential. Albies wasn't ranked last year. I think he kind of gets a bad rap. I think he's a very good second baseman. I'd honestly have him higher. I'd have him in front of Bellinger. I'd have Ketel Marte in front of Bellinger. Carlos Correa at 68 is terrible. What a joke he is.
He was 22nd in 2023.
Yeah, so he dropped 46 spots.
I guess he was. Yeah, but even still, like...
He has not been a great player with the Twins. He's been an okay player with the Twins, but he has not been a great player with the Twins.
But, I mean, and he was good with Houston, too, but he wasn't, like, the spectacular talent.
No, he had so much potential because he's a great athlete and a lot of raw power, yeah. But he hasn't always put it together. No. He hasn't put together a 25-plus home run season, I believe, and he hasn't put together 100 RBI. He's not a 300 hitter, and last year I think his OPS was in the 700s.
He won Rookie of the Year and was top five in voting in 2021. That's what's really carrying his career right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, he was a number one pick, too. That yeah. also helps. Yeah. But I don't – that contract with the Twins is going to be awful. I do, especially apparently with his ankle injuries. But
well, how – he got he failed physicals and stuff yeah. with, like, mm-hmm. what, Giants and Mets? So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that was the funniest thing. They were yeah. like, oh, yeah, the Mets signed him anyway. Oh, no, never mind. Like, yeah. oh, okay. J.P. Crawford makes the list for the first time. That's nice to see as a former Phillies top prospect. I will always like J.P. He's definitely underrated in a lot of ways. And, you know, I think he was an all-star last year in Seattle, or he should have been if he wasn't. But definitely put his name on the map the last couple of years and been a really consistent player. Like, I'd put J.P. Crawford in front of Carlos Correa.
I would. Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon Nimmo I could care less about because he's a Met. But, yeah, that list is pretty good. Or I should say not good. This is where you start seeing a little bit of talent, and I had disagreements with, like, Bellinger and stuff like that. But, mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Number 71, Brian Reynolds, 72, Christian Yelich, Kyle Bradish, Tyler Glasnow, George Kirby, George Springer, Josh Lowe, Isaac Paredes, Max Muncy, and Edwin Diaz. Take Max Muncy off the list, please. Max Muncy is not a top 79 player in the league. I hate Max Muncy. What a loser he is.
Tell me how you really feel.
I can't stand the dude. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what it is about him. I just can't stand him. He's barely he's kind of like Schwarber, where he's kind of one-dimensional. He's got a little bit of pop, and then every time he hits a home run, he kind of just like, he's like, yeah, I'm the best and everything, but he's just a loser. Yeah. Glasnow, I think, is a little bit low. I probably would have had Glasnow higher.
Yeah.
Just because he's got so much raw potential, and last year he put together, he's like, holy crap, this guy's really good. Bradish is really good for the Orioles. I probably would have had him higher too. But everyone else kind of, I feel like George Springer kind of almost doesn't deserve to be that high at 76. He's kind of fallen off a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think he's still in the top 100, but maybe in the high 80s.
Yeah.
Low 90s, perhaps.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And look at Christian Yelich. Isn't that a throwback name? Yeah. At 72.
He wasn't even ranked last year. That's crazy.
No.
It's kind of sad how bad he's fallen off, but he's still a good player.
Yeah,
but he's not the Christian Yelich that won the MVP with Milwaukee, where he had those two fantastic seasons.
Yeah,
and then COVID kind of ruined him. I don't know what it was, but COVID kind of, ever since COVID, he's just not been the same player.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, you kind of feel bad because he's kind of a nice guy, and you know, doesn't do anything too crazy, but you know, he signed that big deal with Milwaukee, and you're like, sweet, this is going to be good for Milwaukee. And he just hasn't been that guy that carries the team, you know,
just like with Brian Reynolds in Pittsburgh. Yeah, signing deals.
Yeah. But Brian Reynolds' deal was only $100 million, and where Yelich was 200 something, like 200. Yeah, but
that's true.
Yeah. I like Brian Reynolds. At 71, I might have actually had him a little bit higher. Like I'd take Brian Reynolds over Bellinger, and that's 20 spot difference. I'd take him over Bellinger. Like, I think Brian Reynolds should have gotten more money. He's a switch hitting outfielder that is a pretty decent average hitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anything else you got?
No.
All right. Moving on, people. We're getting there. 81 to 90, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we go.
Yep.
William Contreras. And then his brother, Wilson Contreras, right after him. Marcell Ozuna, Sai Suzuki. Which I haven't. Wait a minute. Is that the that was a Suzuki they signed last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they signed another guy. Yeah, that was a pitcher that they signed. Yeah. JD Martinez, Anthony Santander, Nolan Jones, who came onto the scene last year, Ha-Seong Kim, Matt Chapman, and Jordan Montgomery. Have you seen Nolan Jones play?
No.
He's pretty fun. It dude is definitely, if there's anything to watch about the Rockies this year, it's Nolan Jones. I had him on my fantasy team at the end of last year. Oh my God. He was so good for my team. I don't know if he should be ranked this high though, given that he just came up, and played, but they're playing the hype with a lot of these guys.
Yeah. It's like putting William and Wilson Contreras together.
Again, lazy. Like it's 81 lazy.
81 and 82.
Yeah, it's lazy. Yeah. They did that for a conversation right there.
Well, you kind of have to start doing that too as you move further down the list.
Yeah.
Like, I hope Santander has a year where he moves up higher than 86.
Yeah, even as a Yankees fan because he's an Oriole?
I like him.
I like him too.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah. The Orioles are fun to watch, honestly.
Yeah, it's gonna be they're gonna be a good team this year.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say, but there are three free agents, or not anymore. So Matt Chapman signed, but Montgomery and JD Martinez are free agents in that list right there. Martinez declined a deal with the Giants because he didn't want to go there, and Jordan Montgomery is seeking a lot of money. So I don't really have any. Like I think that William Contreras is probably better than his brother Wilson right now, but Wilson Contreras was, I think, a top 50 player, and maybe top 60 with the Cubs. Like I thought he was really good.
I think the distance in talent between the two is more than one player.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I also am. William Contreras seems to kill the Phillies every time he plays. But all right, finishing out the top 100, 91, Nathan Eovaldi, Dylan Cease, Cal Raleigh, Gabriel Moreno, Royce Lewis, Josh Naylor, Tristan Casas, Nathaniel Lowe, Matt McClain, Ellie De La Cruz. Half these guys shouldn't even be in. I don't think half these, actually more, probably shouldn't even be on this list. Tristan Casas, no way he should be on this list. I don't think that Ellie De La Cruz should be on this list. Yeah, he's got a lot of potential, but he was terrible after his two-week red hot thing.
That's why he's 100.
Yeah. Royce Lewis barely came onto the scene. Like, he's a really good player, but I don't think he's a top 100. Josh Naylor, same thing. Josh Naylor had a really good year, but I don't view him as like, oh, yeah, he's a top 100 player. Dylan Cease had a down year. You know, he's ranked 55 the year before. I can see that being, you know, he's definitely still one of the best pitchers. But I actually was looking up, what do you think? What do you think about this list?
I mean, there's not much to say when you get to 91 through 100.
Yeah, they're all. You can definitely tell the talent is going down.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like because of the LA De La Cruz. Like, it's kind of like a popularity thing.
Yeah,
it's kind of like we have to have him here, so we're gonna put him at 100, even though he was terrible in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
Dylan Cease, I feel like he should be higher than 92.
Yeah.
Even though he did have a bit of a down year, like you said, he's still one of the better pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, finished second in Cy Young the year before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. You know, it definitely gets harder towards the end because you're like, all right, this guy could do it. But, yeah. So that's the top 100, people. And now I'm going to tell you some players that should have been on this list that weren't. And, again, I'm gonna give some clarification as to why I think they should be on. Now, the MLB did say that, you know, it's players that are injured. They're not on this list. Like some of these players that I have list, like Sandy Alcantara's not on the list. Max Scherzer's not on the list. DeGrom's not on the list. Well, Walker Buehler's not on the list. Shane Bieber's not on the list. And Felix Bautista's not on the list. All those guys are not on the list. They are going to be hurt this year or were hurt, like Walker was hurt last year. But Scherzer's not on the list. I would take Scherzer for half a season over some of these guys, 100%, even if they're older. But number one guy that I think should be on this list is Aaron Nola. He's a top 100 player. You're telling me that you'd rather have Josh Naylor or Tristan Casas over freaking Aaron Nola? You got to be kidding me. Just put Nola at number at 100. Like, give me a freaking break.
And not that you'd knock off Ellie De La Cruz.
Put Ellie De La Cruz 99. All right. I will take... I will take Aaron Nola over Cal Raleigh, Gabriel Moreno, Royce Lewis, Josh Naylor, Tristan Casas, and Nathaniel Lowe. All those guys. 100%. All right. I'd take Nola over JD Martinez, Anthony Santander, Chapman, and Montgomery. So he's already over all these guys that are in the 80s. I'd take Nola over Yelich. I'd take Nola over George Kirby. And I'd take Nola over Edwin Diaz for sure. So he's already over some of these guys that are in the 70s for me. All right, let's go in the 60s here. Would I take Nola over Yamamoto? I don't know about that one. But here's the thing. I don't think Yamamoto deserves to be on this list because he hasn't pitched in the majors. But yeah, Nola's better than Carlos Correa. Get the heck off this list, Carlos Correa. Gosh. Joe Musgrove's not on this list. Some of the guys that also Salvador Perez isn't on this list. And Salvador Perez has like 25 home runs. It's been consistent with his home runs over the years. Now, a little bit more serious. Some guys that I think that should be on this list that probably were not snubbed, but probably more deserving. Bobby Miller, he had a great year last year, and I think he's probably better than some of these guys. He was a rookie with the Dodgers. He's got great stuff. I think he had a 3.5 ERA, but he's definitely going to be top of rotation, or not even top, but like a consistent guy for the Dodgers. Zach Eflin had an all-star level year last year and should be on this list. And then probably my last guy that I think should be on this list that you're going to like, Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres should be on this list. That dude is so underrated in so many ways. I know that he gets a lot of crap from the Yankee fans and all that. I know he's liked among Yankee fans too in some ways. But that dude, he batted 273 with an OPS of 800 and 25 home runs. And he plays, he's at short, right? Or is he at second?
Second base.
He's at second, yeah. I think he's a top 100 player. And he was an all-star the first 2 years of his career. Then COVID hit, and then I think he was a little bit injured in 2021. But I think he's a top 100 player. I think he's going to have another good year because it's a contract year. I put him at... He's projected to have 21 home runs, about 70 RBIs, and an OPS of around 800. But I think he's going to have a better year than that. I think the Yankees are going to do better. I think so. So those are some of the lists. Nola definitely deserves to be on the list. Give me the Nola hate, people. Give me the Nola hate. Yeah. You have anyone that you think you should be on the list that you could think of? Any Yankees? You know, should Rodon be on the list?
No. Well, I was wondering what you thought about Castellanos being in the top 100.
No, I don't view him as a top 100 player.
No?
No. He's a good player, but he's not top 100. He's like 110, 120.
Even ahead of these other guys on the
list? Yeah, no, I take
behind these guys on the list?
So, all right, let's look at this a little bit deeper. Like, I like Castellanos, but would I rather have him over... I'd rather have him over Josh Naylor, for sure. Nathaniel, like, he's kind of like a Nathaniel Lowe type player. Like, he's one-dimensional where he's going to hit pop and doubles and, you know, not be a 300 hitter, but, you know, up there. Yeah, he's a top 110, 120, but you could switch out the 90s and the 120s easily on it. But like, I think once we started to get like past the 50, you're like, all right, a lot of these guys can be jumped, but you can definitely tell the top guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think that Castellanos should be on this list?
Ahead of some of these other people, but maybe not. Like in the three quarters range, maybe like 86, 87.
Yeah, like Kyle Schwarber is 57, but Castellanos is left off the list.
Yeah.
The same thing with Nola. Like, is Nola a better player than Kyle Schwarber?
Not overall.
But I would put Nola.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah. But like, no, Schwarber's one-dimensional. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he has so many home runs, yes, and, you know, the leadership aspect, 100%. Yeah. But I'm just going to get so much Nola hate. Bring it, people. Yeah. Bring it. But yeah, anything else you got? Any surprise? Like, the fact that they left off Felix Bautista, who had to...
That, Sorry.
No, continue.
I was just going to say it's the hurt people that I wish were on here more. Yeah, like the you mentioned Batista not being on the list.
Alcantara, DeGrom.
DeGrom.
Like Alcantara's 1 year removed from a Cy Young.
Yeah.
And then he had a down year last year, but I'd still take Alcantara over I'd take Alcantara over Dylan Cease right now.
Yeah, I mean even Kershaw.
Like, yeah.
Kershaw's not on the list, and he I mean he was hurt, but he was still 13-5 last year with a 2.5 ERA.
He's so underrated now. The fact that Kershaw's underrated is kind of ridiculous given he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Is it because of his postseason performance?
Probably. But also he just I don't think he's pitching as many innings, and also he's not like the big star in LA anymore. He's kind of like that veteran that presence where you got Mookie now, Freddie, Yamamoto, Otani, all those guys. But yeah, you're gonna get DeGrom, Scherzer, Alcantara. Oh, Alcantara's not coming back this year, but DeGrom and Scherzer coming back this year. Shane Bieber's coming back this year. Bautista's missing this year, but like it's just all those guys. You're like, man, those guys are off the top 100, but they're definitely top 100 players.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah. I think Bautista of all those, I know that there a lot of them are gonna miss time, but I think Bautista was probably the one that should have made the list because of how good he was last year. Because he pitched pretty much the entire year last year. But I understand the injury stuff. But
yeah.
All right. Anything else you got for the top 100 people? Please, or for you, I should say. Wow. Brain fart and terrible words right there. Terrible. This is a podcast, people. You know, this is, we have the voices for a podcast, but not the faces.
No, considering that I'm shooting from the hip at this top 100 list. Yeah. I'm feeling all right about it. It could have been worse.
Yes.
There's definitely omissions and things I disagree with. One aspect that I still think is the popularity aspect, ranking people higher or putting them on the list because of fan service, like they did with Yamamoto, even though he hasn't pitched in the league yet. Putting, you know, Vladdy where he's at.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like Cody Bellinger. I mean, do I think they should be on the list? Yes. But where they're ranked, I don't know necessarily.
Yeah, I don't think, I think if we had to make our own top 100 list, we'd probably miss, like, ah, crap, we missed that guy. Like,
yeah.
You just, there's so many players. But like the top 20, I think, are pretty easy. But obviously, we disagreed with this list of, you know, with Corbin Carroll, Bobby Witt, and, Adley. Like, I think Adley's probably pretty accurate there, but Bobby Witt shouldn't be that high. He's a top 50 player, but I don't, not,
yeah.
Just, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We have to see more first.
Yeah.
So, who compiled this list?
I think it was the, I think it was the writers, I believe. Like, the writers for MLB, like, oh, let's see. Here we go. MLB Network revealed its list. So, it's, so I imagine it's like the MLB Network, like writers and like kind of analysts and everything, because it's not the players, it's the MLB Network revealed. So it's kind of like when the, of course, but I know the NFL, like when they do the top 100, it's a mix of players and coaches and stuff like that. Also, I heard from J.J. Watt that sometimes the guys don't even care when they fill out that list. They're like, oh, I'm just going to root for my, put my friend. Like, so... take these lists with a grain of salt, people. You never know, like, how much, you know, this person needs money or the agents having feed or anything, because it matters. The everything is about money.
Yeah.
But yeah, let us know what your thoughts are. Did some people deserve to be higher? Were there some people left off? You know, do you agree with, that Nola should be on with me, or do you not agree that Nola should be on? Let me know. You know, come at me. Let's go. And let's move on to our last segment for the show, which is a hot take from Kevin.
A hot take, yes.
A hot take.
Yes. So, I don't know if you heard anything about Joe Girardi recently.
I did.
He is now with the Yes Network.
Yep.
If you guys don't know what the Yes Network is, that's pretty much the Yankees cable network. So he's going to be doing some analyst work there. Another person who was on the Yes Network for a bit, was Buck Showalter a couple of years ago.
I love Buck.
Obviously, he went to the Mets, and he's not with the Mets anymore. But I feel like often these analyst roles are springboards to managerial positions. So here's my hot take.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Here we go. Here we go.
I think Carlos Mendoza, the new Mets manager, is not going to last very long.
Oh.
And Girardi's just biding his time. So when the Mets do fire him, Joe Girardi will take that position just like Buck Showalter before him. So the next manager of the New York Mets after Carlos Mendoza will be Joe Girardi.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. So how long is Mendoza lasting?
Well, I think Mendoza has a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
2 years?
Okay. So same thing as Buck.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So here's the thing. The way that you explained it, I could totally see it happening.
Yeah. And don't forget, Beltran was on the Yes Network, too.
But I still think it's a hot take because it's definitely not happening at the same time. There's a glimmer that I'm like, that could make sense. Now, Girardi has, you know, he didn't finish well with the Phillies just because it's a long story, people. I didn't hate Girardi. It was just time to go. It's just he didn't have the right mindset for this team. I think for a different team, I think he would have been fine. But for the Phillies, wasn't time. I hope he doesn't go to the Mets because I kind of like him a little bit. Like, if he went to the Mets, it would just ruin. It would be so much talk radio that would.
Could you at least see him in the near future gain another managerial role if it's not with the Mets?
100%. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. The way that you framed your hot take, like he's going to springboard his. So that's where I see the hot take more of that, like, you know, he's just waiting his time, like, till Mendoza.
Yes.
Why would you want to work for the Mets? Like, what is appealing about that? You're the lesser franchise in a great baseball city, and you're going to be pathetic. Like, come on.
Everybody has their price.
Yeah, and Steve Cohen is going to.
And he has a lot of money.
He has a lot of money.
He is spending.
Money.
It didn't really work out last year, but.
Yeah, unless they have, like, I don't know. I've heard that the Mets camp has actually been pretty good. Like, the vibes are good. The team definitely. And it's spring training, you know. You have all those cliche, like, he came in the best shape of his life. You know, the clubhouse is better than ever. Like, but I've heard that the clubhouse last year was a lot different. And this year it's definitely a little bit more, like energetic. And so it was because Buck's a little more old school. I like that hot take.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think over the last, like, 15 or 20 years, a Mets manager who's lasted more than 3 or 4 years. It's a little difficult.
Yeah.
Did Terry Collins last, like, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, he lasted a while. What was the pitching coach for Callaway? Mickey Callaway.
Mickey Callaway. You know, that was a few years.
That was a dumpster fire.
Beltran didn't even get the chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was someone else. Did they fire Callaway and then... And then it was Beltran and then Buck?
I thought like there was someone in between.
There was someone in between. But why am I missing
it? I can't remember who it is.
I can't remember who it is either.
Well, Willie Randolph, I think, lasted 4 years before he was fired. And then there was Omar Minaya? He lasted a few years, and then Terry Collins. It's just like there's so many of them. Like,
we're testing our baseball trivia.
Yeah.
And which we are going to be doing in a couple weeks.
Oh, no. Minaya was the GM. I don't, or was he? I can't even remember.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, that's my hot take.
We got enough tangents for that we go on to. But Kevin and I are going to be doing a baseball trivia at Workhorse Brewing in a couple weeks. We're going to test our knowledge. Mm-hmm. We're bringing one of our friends. We're trying to get one more to join us to have four people. But this will be the first time that we're testing our baseball knowledge, you know.
Indeed.
You know, Kev's definitely got the history part lined up. I'm kind of more the modern type history with, you know, I was telling Kev in the kitchen the other day, like, yeah, obviously, like, you got the history stuff, but if someone asked me how many gold gloves did Nolan Arenado win, 10, easy, I got that. But we'll see how in depth they go. We'll, you know, they could have, this could be more Phillies biased stuff. I don't know with the workhorses because it's this area. Yeah. I don't know. But
well, they do Phillies history. I know a decent amount of that still.
Yeah, so you actually might know more about the deeper history than me. Like I might know 1980 on more than you, but probably before 1980, don't know a ton of stuff, but I know a decent amount. More than the average Philly fan. Yes. Yeah, for sure. As I should, because I have a podcast about baseball, and I feel like I should have some history lessons. So that's all I got. You got anything else?
No. The next episode should be a season preview, so be prepared for that. That's going to be coming down the pike in
the next few
weeks as the season starts in how many days? Like, it's about 2 weeks.
So that's March 20th, I believe, is the South Korea series. Right?
So 13 days.
Yeah. So we're going to try to get a couple more podcasts in before that date. Or at least
a couple more?
At least one. So we'll see. Because we want to have the guest on and at the day before that series. But we also want to get the season preview done, too, possibly. So we'll see.
We'll talk offline.
We're just talking right now to the listeners, you know. Yeah. But let us know, please. You know, let us know what your thoughts are on the list, a hot take, and you know, if you want to be a guest on the show, like, let us know. We would love to have some people. We have someone lined up, but we also definitely want to have some other ideas and input and stuff like that. We got some stuff in the works.
We do.
But yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Catch you next time.